From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstone on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire, and Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
Wendigan Oats in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wendigan Oats, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Go, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's Still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Once again, everyone, welcome to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you for the next 2 hours. The Pontiff of the Pick Four is enjoying a little R&R with the family and the Chicago Cubs this weekend out in Arizona. So, matter of fact, I think his wife actually got to throw out the first pitch the other day at one of those games. Pretty cool. And he'll be back in the saddle with me next week as I head to Gulfstream Park and get ready for the Florida Derby. But in terms of what's coming up this afternoon, you have a couple of, one points race on the docket later today at the fairgrounds with the Louisiana Derby. The winner of that race guaranteed a spot in the starting gate of the Kentucky Derby, which is now only 42 days, 10 hours, 47 minutes, and 54 seconds away. And looking forward to that race later today. Good field going to the post in that one. Tomorrow you have the Sunland Park Derby, or the Sunland Derby, out at Sunland Park in New Mexico. That also is a points race, and looking forward to that one as well. The next 2 hours is going to be extremely busy here on the program. Going to talk about not only that Louisiana Derby and that big program at the fairgrounds today. As a matter of fact, 8 stakes races. 4 of those are graded stakes, culminating with the grade 2 TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby, which is race 13, 6:13 Eastern Time is the post of that one. You have 11 horses set to go in the Louisiana Derby. War of Will, known around the barn of Mark Cassie as Wow because he's been so impressive. The 6-5 morning line favorite. He'll get a great rematch with Country House, who finished behind him last time out. You have the TwinSpires.com Fairgrounds Oaks. Let's not forget about the ladies. 8 fillies going to the post in there. Serengeti Empress, the 6-5 morning line favorite. She looks to cement her case as maybe the horse to beat on the first Friday in May in the Kentucky Oaks. So a couple of good ones as part of that 8 stakes race program later today. Tomorrow, that Sunland Derby has 10 3-year-olds. Mucho Gusto, the 8-5 morning line favorite in that one for trainer Bob Baffert. And we'll see if Mucho Gusto can take the next step along the road to the Kentucky Derby. But again, we'll have to wait until tomorrow afternoon for that. Down at Gulfstream Park, as I mentioned, next weekend going to be a massive weekend, the biggest weekend of the championship meet as we get ready for the Florida Derby. But you also have a big week on the sale side of things. The Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale taking place on Wednesday at 2 o'clock is when things will kick off. The under tax show for those 2-year-olds in training Monday at 9 a.m. And I'm going to talk about that sale in the first hour of the program today. Going to preview that Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale with a couple of consigners, Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables and Eddie Woods. The two of them, what they have done over the years in terms of consigning these young horses, Eddie Woods primarily with the 2-year-olds, Kip also gets involved with yearlings too, but the things that they have done, the success that they have had, just tremendous. So really looking forward to those visits coming up later in this first half of the program, and should be a lot of fun to talk with them and get set for the future stars of our sport, set to go under the gavel at that Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale next week. last week, Jude and I spent quite a bit of time talking about the open letter to the industry, which was put forth by Belinda Stronach and the Stronach Group on March 14th that concerned the future of thoroughbred racing in California. And that has been a hot-button topic on social media. It's been a hot-button topic on different programs the past several weeks, and rightfully so. These are important issues that need to be addressed. And the Stronach Group saying, okay, we're going to do it our way, and this is how it's going to be done. And if you recall, that letter basically stated that race day medications would be banned at both Santa Anita and Golden Gate, the two California tracks owned by the Stronach Group. 2 days later, Santa Anita, Golden Gate, and the Thoroughbred Owners of California, the TOC, reached an historic agreement to protect the safety and the welfare of the horses and the riders in the state. And essentially, that agreement enacts the most stringent medication policy that we've seen in North America. All horses born in or after 2018 will race at Santa Anita and Golden Gate with no race day medication, including Lasix, and really Lasix the primary culprit here in terms of the medications being eliminated on race day. But all horses born in or after 2018. So that means that all two-year-old horses starting in 2020 and after that point will be racing medication-free at Santa Anita and at Golden Gate. All horses born before 2018 will race at those tracks with those same guidelines. However, it will require the recommendation of a veterinarian to see what's in the best interest of each individual horse before they race. So they will permit Lasix with those horses. However, a maximum of 50% of the current levels. Those are the main points that have come out of that agreement. 9 o'clock Eastern, I'm going to visit with Jim Gagliano, who is the president and chief operating officer of the Jockey Club. And with any issue in any industry, you have people on both sides of the fence. Well, this is certainly no exception. The Jockey Club has their approach to handling the medication situation and out-of-competition testing. That involves government intervention and legislation. People will be on the other side of the fence and say, well, that's not good for racing. It should be handled on a state level. But that hasn't been very successful either. So I'll get a chance to talk with Jim Gagliano, 9 o'clock Eastern, and I'll ask him about some of the things that the Jockey Club is doing, some of the new developments there. We'll talk to him about what the Stronach Group has done, and we'll find out their perspective on things. That's 9 o'clock Eastern. Stay tuned for that interview. Again, first half of the program, I'm going to visit with Kip Elzer. He'll join me about 8:15 Eastern time from Kirkwood Stables. Eddie Woods with me at 8:35 Eastern. Joe Kristofek from the Fairgrounds is going to be here to talk about that huge program in the Louisiana Derby, 9:22 Eastern time. And the senior director, let's not promote him to a senior here, Frank Hoff, senior director of racing operations at Sam Houston, 9:39 Eastern. He'll be with me to talk about Texas Champions Day, which is always a prominent day down at Sam Houston. So all of those guests coming up, and we're going to cover an awful lot of ground over the next 2 hours. Poll question of the day. In light of the March Madness taking place at the NCAA tournament, I thought it would be kind of fun to look at it this way, this morning, and let you weigh in on which horse you feel could be the one to win the Kentucky Derby based on who would likely be a number one seed if March Madness and racing began today. And let's assume that it does with the Louisiana Derby. March Madness beginning today. Your top four horses in the point standings as of right now, March 23rd. War of Will, number one. Code of Honor, number two. Long Range Toddy, number three. And High Call, number four. You can see that at KentuckyDerby.com. You can see that points list. So let's assume that those are the four number one seeds going into March Madness in horse racing. War of Will, Code of Honor, Long Range Toddy, and High Call, considering they're the top four in the points right now. Which of those four has the best chance to win the championship, to win the Kentucky Derby. We'll do it that way. And you can weigh in at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. This is going to be an interesting question. I'll be curious to see how it goes. I think you have to look at Long Range Toddy and High Call as maybe being the two that most people are going to say are the most vulnerable number one seeds along the road to the Kentucky Derby here. I think Code of Honor with that big win in the Fountain of Youth Stakes certainly stamped himself as a legitimate one seed. And then War of Will, nothing wrong since moving to the dirt for Mark Cassie, and we'll see him in action later today in the Louisiana Derby. He's probably, well, let's consider him this way. He's the number one points getter. He's the number one overall seed in horse racing's March Madness. He's the top one seed, War of Will. So you can have War of Will, Code of Honor, Long Range Toddy, or High Call. Which of those four most likely to win the championship, the Kentucky Derby, on the first Saturday in May? At HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and if you want to email the show, you can do that, mike@horseracingradio.net. Going to get to a break. I'll come back and look ahead to next week's Fazed Tipton Gulfstream sale. I'll do it with consigner Kip Elzer on the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blauen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Adina Spring Stallion, point of entry.
As they come down to the finish, point of entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaforma's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes point of entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
It is point of entry in front. Treasure Beach can't stay with him. Kindergarten Kid comes down the inside from third, and they're coming down to the finish. And point of entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Now, with winners in eight countries on all services, up to 10 furlongs, including the sensational multi-graded stakes winner, Analyze It, in his first crop, and stakes winner and Grade 1 placed My Gal Betty from his second crop. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners on Bridled Bell, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind, absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Gunmetal Gray starts to commence his bid, has six to make up. They're at the top of the stretch. Mucho Gusto. Gunmetal Gray on the far outside. Easy Shot is in striking range. Magnificent McCool at the rail. They're in the final furlong, and Mucho Gusto now pours it on. Opens up three. Easy Shot, Gunmetal Gray will battle for second. Mucho Gusto, impressive in victory, cruises home by five easy lengths. Gunmetal Gray got up for second. Then it was Easy Shot and Magnificent McCool. Running time, 141.81 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN, all presented here in the month of March by our friends at Red Brand Fence. And that was Frank Miramati with the call of the Robert B. Lewis Stakes and Mucho Gusto rolling to victory that afternoon. He's back in action tomorrow, continuing down the road to the Kentucky Derby in the Sunland Derby in New Mexico at Sunland Park. And we'll see him as the likely favorite in there. He's a huge favorite on the morning line. You would expect he'll go to the post as the favorite tomorrow, and why not? He's been ultra impressive, and that is music to the ears of our next guest, who is Kip Elzer of Kirkwood Stables. Mucho Gusto coming through that Kirkwood program, as have so many top horses over the years, and Kip is with us now here on HRRN. Kip, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, and good to hear Frank Miramati calling Mucho Gusto in front in the Robert B. Lewis.
I can't hear it too many times.
Look, he has been ultra impressive, and if he wins the race tomorrow, then I think most people are going to look at him and say, yeah, he's legit. I mean, most people already probably do, but this will cement that case even further.
Well, I sure hope so. It's hard to climb to the top of the Baffert ladder, much less the national one, but I guess if you're on top of the Baffert team, that pretty much puts you on top of everything else. He's an awful nice colt, and we're just keeping our fingers crossed and hoping the path stays clear.
What do you remember about him when he came through your program, Kip?
Probably the main thing about him was he was always a curious horse, just very observant, looking at everything that was going around him. Just very curious and interested every day, whether he was in the stall looking out at what was going on out in the shed or out in the paddocks in front of him or on the racetrack looking at what else was going on there.
You know, you look at the grade one horses that have come through the Kirkwood program over the years and that you've sold. I mean, horses like Soaring Softly and Memories of Silver, Sharp Cat, Wonder Again, Plum Pretty, Keeper Hill, the Winter Memories, Alphabet Soup, the list goes on and on and on over the years. Can you tell at a very early point in their development that this is a horse that has that, I'll call it an it factor and could be special?
Well, you hope you do. The good ones always tickle you a little bit early. This is a very steep pyramid to climb, and there's some that get halfway up and can't go any farther or three-quarters of the way up. But the ones that keep climbing are the ones that are very, very special. It's a lot of fun.
Well, next week you get ready for the Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale. And last year you and I visited on the same program, and we talked about a brand-new approach that you decided to use when coming into a two-year-old in training sale. It is a no-breeze show for Kirkwood Stables. Tell me more about that and look back on last year and the progress that you've made.
Well, it was just an accidental conversation at Saratoga 2 years ago now. An old friend, we were just sort of kicking around maybe the way things used to be, and could we try it again? And he called me a couple of days later and said, if you think we could have a legitimate chance to produce some horses and sell them and have them do well by not breezing as fast as everybody else and not really putting quite that much pressure on them. Why don't you buy me a few and we'll give it a try? Last year, that with five horses, it was very well received. They've gone on to produce on the racetrack. Philly Splashy Kisses with Doug O'Neill is graded, placed a couple of times. Brett Calhoun has a decent filly that won in New Orleans the other day. Just a few minutes ago, I watched an exchange rate colt that came out of our program that Jenna Antonucci bought here at Gulfstream. He worked awful nice and is very close to running. So it's been a success on the racetrack as well as in the sale ring. So we're trying it again with a few more horses.
What would be the potential advantages and disadvantages of bringing a horse to a two-year-old in training sale and not breezing them, just giving them a gallop in front of everybody? What are some of the potential advantages and disadvantages there?
Well, I think we're taking the risk for ourselves and ultimately the buyers somewhat out of it, with not having to put as much pressure on these horses to breeze fast. Disadvantages, most buyers want to see just how fast these horses can go. So we need to have them step back to maybe the way they used to look at horses a few years ago and the way they travel and how they do everything but go as fast as they can go for an eighth of a mile. It's an education process both for us and for some of the newer buyers. The guys that have been around buying horses for a length of time have bought horses off of just two-minute licks or steady breezes, and they're perfectly capable of going back to that if their clients left them.
What were some, you bring up education, what were some of the things, Kip, that you learned from going down this road for the first time last year?
You just have to lay it all out in front of people. Try to tell them what you're doing. Tell them about your program, which has basically been the same for quite a few years. And just try to convince people that what you save in a maybe lack of preparation for the sale, you'll make up with a little more left in the tank when you go to the races, hopefully.
Does it put more emphasis on pedigree when you're not breezing these young horses at a two-year-old in training sale?
Well, probably the pedigrees are used more in the appraisals. If you don't have the fast breeze, that pushes you to the top tier as far as price goes, then you have to use your pedigrees, you know, in much the same way as you would at a yearling sale. It becomes a bigger factor in the appraisal.
Kip Elzer with me, Kirkwood Stables, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He will be consigning 9 horses to the upcoming Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale. And if you are just joining us and you missed the beginning part of the interview, Kip taking a unique approach again this year, not breezing any of those 9 horses. They will gallop, and buyers will have an opportunity to purchase them in that fashion. Worked out pretty well last year. Some nice horses coming out of Kip's consignment from a year ago, and looking for more continued success this year. That Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale begins on Wednesday at 2 p.m., and the Under Tack show is Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern time down there in South Florida. Kip, talk about the horses that you're going to be consigning to the sale next week.
We've got a couple of first-year stallions that we're pretty high on. tonalist, I think, is a surefire prospect of, you know, he won a Met Mile, he won a Belmont, he won short, he won classic distances, he ran for a long time, great pedigree himself. I think the colt I've got is a very nice colt. Two sort of sleepers by first-year horses are the colts by Byron and Wicked Strong. And I've been pleasantly surprised with how they've trained. And again, you look back into their pedigrees and race records, and there's maybe a little more than we originally thought without quite the buzz that was around some of the other first-year horses in this crop. It's a very deep crop of first-year stallions this year.
Yeah, very much so.
Then we've got an English Channel who's just a typical late-developing, going to be a grass horse, but an awful nice colt. Got a Go-Sapper colt out of a wonderfully deep Darby Dan family. He's a nice colt. More Than Ready colt. Again, a big, tall, cover a lot of ground kind of horse. And then the one filly in the group is by Street Sense, with some family underneath her. So we've got a pretty good mix of individual types and of pedigrees, and there'll be something for everybody in there, I hope.
What barn are you going to be in down there, Kip?
We are in, I guess it's 25, which
okay.
is the little annex barn across from the main big top over there.
All right. And then you'll be at Keeneland in April, Keeneland bringing back their 2-year-old in training sale. That is on Tuesday, April 9th. The preview day is Monday, April 8th. You'll have, I guess, about a dozen or so head to sell in that one. Are you going to take the same approach?
It's going to be a lot of fun to get back to Keeneland after a several year hiatus. We're really looking forward to that one, too, and getting out in public there during the Keeneland meet.
Will those horses be sold on a no-breeze basis, or will you breeze them?
No, this at Gulfstream is the only place we do that. We sort of backed into the where to do this. I don't think it would necessarily work on an artificial surface, and I think once you go to Keeneland or later in the year and they're already running to your races, the idea of not not breezing yet becomes, you know, a little bit of a moot point. It's ready to turn up the heat a notch. So we picked the Gulfstream sale to feature the no breeze group, and that's the only place we do it, and we don't mix this group with horses that are breezy.
Well, don't forget, you can visit KirkwoodStables.com to look at the pages and the updates on all of the horses that Kip is consigning to the Fakesley Tipton Gulfstream sale and then the Keeneland April sale on April 9th. And I'll brag on you for just a minute here, Kip, before I let you go, but that consignment in April, rock solid, too. You're looking at sires like Bodie Meister and Malibu Moon and Declaration of War and Uncle Mo and Ghost Sapper and Wicked Strong and Honor Code, Verrazano. That consignment, very, very strong, and I'm looking forward to seeing them do their thing up here in the Bluegrass.
Well, so am I. We got to get past this one first, but anyway, it's a fun road trip this spring.
Yeah, it certainly is. Kip Elzer, Kirkwood Stables, does a phenomenal job. Make sure you stop by and tell him you heard him here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And take a look at those horses he'll be consigning. 9 of them, and they're really, really good at that Fakesley Tipton Gulfstream sale. Kip, appreciate the visit. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, we'll send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that to you, and we'll look forward to seeing you when I get down there next week.
Well, thanks for having me on, Mike. Come see us.
All right. Kip Elzer, Kirkwood Stables, kirkwoodstables.com to learn more about those consignments. Our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment is scheduled for this point, but I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to skip and bypass the story part of this segment this morning in the interest of time, because it's a busy first half of the show. Eddie Woods is coming up next to talk about his consignment at that Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale. Then our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris, at the end of the first hour. You're going to hear from trainer Bob Claseris, who joined us on Trainer Talk this past Wednesday night. He was with us for the full hour. It was such an enjoyable hour. If you haven't listened to it, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast of that Trainer Talk show. But you'll hear about a five-minute clip from that show, Bob talking about his relationship with Hall of Fame jockey Edgar Prado. It was one of the really neat parts of that program on Wednesday night. And because of Bob's success and his story, he is our industry star of the week. And that interview, that clip coming up toward the end of this first half of the program. Jim Gagliano with me to kick off hour number two at 9 Eastern, the president of the Jockey Club. Joe Kristofek from the Fairgrounds at 9:22 Eastern, and at 9:40 Eastern time, Frank Hoff, the senior director of racing operations at Sam Houston. And we'll get a parting shot from Michael Hernan from Gainesway right as we get ready to wrap up the show before 10 o'clock Eastern time. Again, skipping that Lexus Legends of the Turf story. So a word from the Lexus store and a couple of other sponsors, and we're back to visit with Eddie Woods talking about the Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale. That's next.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm, Bet on Red, Wildcat Red.
Wildcat Red runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near record time. Faster than Pulpit, faster than Thunder Gulch, and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, V.E. Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont and Saratoga, V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be too close to call!
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Donnell. Caraconti.
Caraconti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti recorded three Grade 1 victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Caraconti recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 132 and 4 fifths. First crop yearlings by Caraconti sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Caraconti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Racing fans, Santa Anita Park is happy to announce that live racing will resume on Friday, March 29th with first post time at 1 p.m. At this time, Santa Anita Park Management would like to thank our fans, horsemen, and employees for their patience during this period of inactivity, and we look forward to welcoming everyone back as we return to live racing. Our main event on March 29th is the Grade 2 $200,000 San Luis Race Stakes at a mile and one half on turf, and will offer free general parking and admission to all attendees. Please note, the Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap will now be part of a blockbuster card on Santa Anita Derby Day, Saturday, April 6th. Make plans to join us for America's most important Kentucky Derby prep and much more. That's on Santa Anita Derby Day, April 6th. With the safety of our equine and human athletes, our number one priority, we hope to see you soon here at Santa Anita, where we will continue to maintain the highest standards in the racing industry.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Antono sneaks through an opening at the fence. Kidora's fighting hard. Lady Eli comes at her from the outside. Antono comes at her from the rail. The three of them battle it out to the wire in the Diana. Here's the finish. It is the gauntless Lady Eli. She has defeated Kidora by a nose.
They're at the top of the lane, and Instagram now's given his head, and he's striding away very, very impressively. And look at this guy go. Instagram, 9-10 lengths, coming home to a scintillating performance in the best bell. Could not have been more impressive. Raiden van Dyke just let him run along on his own. He wins at a distance.
Lady Eli and Instagram. Ultra impressive. Lady Eli, of course, a champion, five-time grade one winner, and Instagram certainly on the rise and one of the top horses along the road to the Kentucky Derby. What do they have in common? Well, they both came out of the Eddie Woods program and the Eddie Woods consignment. They join other champions consigned by Eddie Woods, Big Brown, Left Bank, Midnight Loot, and Spring in the Air. And Eddie is with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Eddie, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sure you can never get enough of those two calls, huh?
No. They're always refreshing anytime you hear them.
Well, look, you're getting ready to send nine horses under the gavel next week at Gulfstream for that Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale. You come out of the OBS sale, which was highly successful as well. Where is this two-year-old sales market right now?
I think it's in pretty good shape. The top end of the market has always been very healthy. I think we had a very good sale in OBS there last week, or almost 2 weeks ago now. You know, where the market was very healthy and a lot of horses got sold for a lot of money. And I think it's going to continue on that way, you know, what with the top end been always the healthiest part of it.
How do you determine which horses you're going to sell at OBS and which ones you're going to bring to Gulfstream and Fasig Tipton?
Very difficult. I think basically you can bring your top-end horses in either spot to either place. And what we try to do is divide our stock where they're not competing against one another and take an equal amount of nice horses to each spot. And, you know, you can kind of sell a different horse in OBS to some extent. A more of a hard-knocking horse, so to speak, where they're very difficult to move down a Gulfstream, where it's very much a top-end sale. So hence your point, you know, what you would think are your basically some of your top-end horses to the Gulfstream sale.
You know, Kip Elzer joined me earlier in the show. He talked about his consignment, and I asked him about some of his top horses. And I said, Kip, can you tell at an early stage when they come through your program that this is a horse that could be special? And Eddie, when you look at those champions, horses like Big Brown and Left Bank and Lady Eli and Midnight Loot, when you look at them, did you know early on that this was a horse that could be a little bit different than just your ordinary everyday racehorse?
For the most part, for the really, really nice horses, yes, they show all the potential, they have all the class, and they do things with a kind of a style that any kind of young athlete does, like a serious high school ball player. You know, he's so far ahead of the others. But then you know, to counterbalance that, we have plenty that have showed that same kind of promise, but they haven't had the same luck, or they weren't fortunate enough to stay sound to achieve the levels that them other good horses did.
Yeah, it's a good point. There are so many X factors that go into it. A horse can have all the talent in the world, and if they don't stay sound, then they don't get to show that talent and to the full extent. Instagram is a horse that's squarely on the Kentucky Derby trail right now, and Jerry Hollendorfer said that his last race was very, very good. He was very impressed with that effort, even though he didn't win. What do you remember about Instagram as a young horse?
Very straightforward horse. He wasn't particularly big when we bought him in July. He developed really well through the winter and into spring. He worked fantastic here in Gulfstream Park, and he looked the part, and hence he sold really well. And he went on to do good things to begin with. Then he just kind of needed some time. And I thought he ran a hell of a race in New York. You know, for all intents and purposes, he had the worst of it. He shipped from California to the depths of the winter in Aqueduct to run in a race there where everyone else has been localized. And I thought he ran a good race in a very strangely ran race.
Yeah, Jerry joined us on this program last week. And when we asked him about Instagram, you know, you can kind of read between the lines with trainers, and he kind of perked up a little bit. His voice went to another level. I think he's really high on this horse, Eddie.
Yeah, no, I think he's been high on that horse for a long, long time, and I think he just wants, and then he's hoping that horse just can do what he expects him to do.
So who's our potential next Big Brown Lady Eli Instagram in this two-year-old consignment coming up next week?
If I knew that, I wouldn't be talking to you. We got a good group. The Curlin Colt, the Flatter Colt is a very nice horse, the Silver Tongue Devil. The American Pharaoh, like most of the American Pharaoh, shows a lot of promise. The Tappet Filly, Seattle Smooth's beautiful, and the Palace Filly, printing up Jewel Vow, is very precocious looking. And, you know, we brought nine here, and there's none of them I wouldn't mind having right now just to go on. You know, it's just that's what you got to bring to this place, something you don't mind having.
Talking with Eddie Woods, he'll be consigning to that Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale next Wednesday. The Under Tax Show is Monday at 9 a.m. down at Gulfstream Park. You can go to eddiewoods.com if you want to learn more about his success and, of course, the consignments and all of his horses he'll be selling not only next week but in the future sales as well. Eddie, when you're picking out yearlings that you're going to bring back as two-year-olds, what are some of the things that you're looking for that make you think that they could be a good two-year-old in training?
Well, We're looking for a horse that's going to turn into a good race horse, not necessarily a good two-year-old and training horse. Once upon a time, them, you know, really sharp, quick, and looking horses were going to be good two-year-old and training horses because they were going to be quick and they'd put on a good show in the breed show. The whole two-year-old sale thing has evolved from there, where we now want to sell good horses, as in the Instagrams and the Lady Eli's of this world, and our other classic horses have come out of two-year-old sales, and that's what we're aiming at. So we're looking to buy as much quality as we can that'll turn into a top horse at the end of the day.
What's more important, pedigree or athleticism?
A bit of both. You know, you have to have the athlete to begin with, and then the amount of pedigree he has or the quality of the pedigree he has deems how much you're going to give from or get from. But the amount, a horse with a vast amount of pedigree that's not an athlete, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. Eddie Woods here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, stop by his consignment next week. Eddie, what barn are you going to be in?
24, I think it is.
24, okay. And the goal when you send those horses out on Monday morning is what, to go as fast as you can, or what are you looking for from them?
The goal for them is to have a very good professional-looking work that will make a really good video and for them to come home in good shape.
All right, there you have it. That's why he's been so good for so long. Are you going to be up at the Keeneland sale in April, Eddie, or no?
No, we will not. We're going to give that a pass this year.
Okay, but he will be active next week at that Gulfstream sale. Eddie, listen, I really appreciate all your support of what we do here on the network, and all the best next week at that Gulfstream sale, my friend.
Thank you very much, and good talking to you.
Yeah, you too. EddieWoods.com, the place to go. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, Eddie going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. And you can embrace your passion, wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Yeah, think about that. Think about the success that Eddie has had over the years. I mean, he is, if not the top, certainly among the top two-year-old consigners. Big Brown, Left Bank, Lady Eli, Midnight Loot, Spring in the Air. How'd you like to own those five as your dream team? I'll take just one of them. Just outstanding. And the thing that he talked about, you know, I think that the perception is that when these young horses breeze at these two-year-old in training sales, yeah, you want them to go quick. Look, I mean, the horses that breeze well typically sell well. You go fast, you typically sell well. It's that simple. But when I asked Eddie that last question, he didn't take it that direction. He said, we want them to go fast, but we want them to have that fluent stride and be a good mover and put that on tape so that when potential buyers go back and they look at the way the horse moves, even if the horse isn't the fastest worker, if the horse is a good mover, then you have something. And you have a horse that can sell well, which is, of course, the goal of every consigner, Eddie Woods, Kip Elser, whoever it might be. That's their goal. They're representing their clients, and they need to get those horses to sell well. And if you can have a horse that's a good mover, and you heard him talk about pedigree and athleticism, a little bit of both. A horse with a great pedigree that isn't an athlete isn't going to do you a whole heck of a lot of good. But a horse that's a great athlete, even if he has a low-key pedigree, can turn out to be a pretty nice racehorse. And how many times have we seen it? Horses that don't bring $1 million, don't bring $950, don't bring $2.5 million. They bring $20,000, $15,000, $12,000. We see it all the time in this sport. Many times those are the horses jumping up and winning these greatest stakes. It's a great game. Eddie Woods, Kip Elser, my thanks to them for joining me here in the first half of the program to preview that Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale again. It begins on Wednesday, or takes place on Wednesday. 2 o'clock is when the first horse will go under the gavel at Gulfstream Park, and the Breeze Show Monday at 9 a.m. Going to get to another break. I'll come back with our industry star of the week. You're going to hear from trainer Bob Claseris. Don't miss this phenomenal story coming up in our next segment, right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Readers can't get enough of the quality first foals by Grade 1 winning sire Cupid, a son of the influential three-time leading sire Tappet out of the ultra-successful broodmare Pretty and Smart. His high-class pedigree, along with stunning looks, culminated into a $900,000 purchase as a yearling. Cupid went on to become one of the best three-year-olds of his class, with earnings of over $1.7 million. Cupid boasts the complete package, a top pedigree, smashing looks, and a race record to match. Call the Coolmore team today to get your spot with this hot stallion before they're filled.
Racing at Gulfstream.
Racing at Gulfstream Park is heating up with world-class horse racing during our championship meet every Wednesday through Sunday until March 30th. Catch top-class graded stakes action and great wagering opportunities every week. And be sure to get your tickets now for the $1 million ExpressBet.com Florida Derby on March 30th. For our full racing schedule and to learn more about upcoming events, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Palace, City Zip's fastest son and his only multiple Grade 1 winner at stud.
And here's the wire. It's Palace, the winner. And Palace dazzles here.
Palace's first crop have been popular at the sales and are now creating a buzz in Florida as two-year-olds. Look for them selling this spring at OBS and Basic Tipton Gulfstream. Palace, standing at Spendthrift Farm. Eligible for the Safe Bet Program in 2019. Call Spendthrift today to learn more. Eddie Woods is the perennial leading consigner, having sold multiple Great Estates winners, including 26 Grade 1 winners and four champions.
Big Brown bombing home!
Midnight Luke could not have been more impressive.
This is a scintillating performance from Lady Eli.
And look at this guy go. Instagram.
Galilean, who will put on another impressive display.
A passion for hard work that produces big-time results. Find your next winner at the Eddie Woods Consignment. Visit eddiewoods.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
The leader is still Tequila Sunday as they come for the quarter pole. Knees No Ice runs in second. Lemon Crush. And on the far outside, there is Carlisle Bell. The field is coming down for the eighth pole. They still have Tequila Sunday to catch. Tequila Sunday down towards the rail. Carlisle Bell on the outside. Needs No Ice is now in third. It's Tequila Sunday trying to hold off Carlisle Bell for another 16th. Tequila Sunday with the lead, and Tequila Sunday has won it. Turned out to be close for second between Carlisle Bell and Needs No Ice.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you back with me here this morning. That was John Embriel with the call of the fourth race at Aqueduct last Saturday. Tequila Sunday getting the victory in that race. It wasn't a stakes race, wasn't a Grade 1, Grade 2, wasn't even a listed stakes race. But it was a special win for trainer Bob Claseris, very much so. Bob Claseris began his training career in 1976. He saddled 2,237 winners. They've earned more than $32 million in purses. The guy knows how to train a racehorse, and a good racehorse. That number is probably even more impressive. And think about this, would likely even be a lot higher when you consider the fact that when Tequila Sunday crossed the finish line at Aqueduct last Saturday, it was Bob's first winner in 12 years. That's right. A 12-year hiatus, Bob is back training horses again, not to the level that he was before, not to the numbers that he was before, but he certainly knows how to train a good racehorse, and he was back in the winner's circle, and Bob joined me and Jude Feld for the full hour on Trainer Talk this past Wednesday night. That podcast of that show is up on our website. Do yourself a favor, go back and listen to it. You won't be disappointed, but one thing he mentioned when I asked him about that particular moment when Tequila Sunday crossed the line first, I said, what things kind of came to mind when you saw him win that race, and it was your first win in 12 years? And he said, I think probably every other win that I've ever had. And it was a cool answer, a very reflective answer on the part of Bob Claseris. And Bob also had a very special relationship with Hall of Fame jockey Edgar Prado. And because of his recent success, and because of everything Bob has done for the sport, he is this week's Industry Star of the Week, presented by our friend Stuart Morris. And here's a short clip of Bob from this past week's Trainer Talk on Wednesday night. I read an article as I was getting ready for the program, and it was an article that was archived on the internet from the 1980s, and it talked about the fact that you helped Edgar with his Hall of Fame career, and you helped get him started, but it was a story about Suffolk Downs and Edgar's suspension. Do you remember that day when he was suspended?
Tremendously. Edgar was Edgar brought a riding style to Boston that Boston never saw. Okay, the majority—I shouldn't say majority—all the riders in Boston at the time were riding 5, 6, 7, 8 feet apart. Okay, and they're all over the place. They weave. If you watch a head-on view, they're changing lanes the whole backside and the whole stretch. Well, Edgar brought a style. He brought a New York style there, where he rode tight. He didn't clip anybody. He didn't interfere with anybody. He didn't drop anybody. But he put them in tight. He made it very difficult for them to even ride their horse. And nobody in Boston rode their own horse, plus rode two others in the race that they had to beat. Edgar brought this style to Boston, and the riders didn't like it, and the stewards didn't like it. And Edgar was getting suspension after suspension continuously. It was nothing for him to serve 5 days. First day back, he'd get taken down again. And I have to say, look, because I try to look at things objectively, 70-30 that he shouldn't have come down. But if it was even close, they were taking him down. And one day he got taken down on a horse of mine. And I don't get upset. I very seldom get upset. And I was upset at this one. And I, for the life of me, could not see what happened. I went and watched the replay, and I couldn't see it. So I went up to the steward stands, and I asked them, can you please explain to me why this horse was disqualified? And the immediate reaction I got was, listen, this kid is dangerous. He's going to hurt somebody. We don't want him here. I said, okay, understand. Can you please show me why you took him down? So they showed a two-turn race, and where the gate leaves after they break, there's tire tracks, and it goes up the stretch to get out of the way. And the steward says to me, Bob, do you see this line right here? Edgar doesn't keep a straight course. He crosses over the line. And I said, sir, the line is crooked. It's 3 feet off the fence here. It's 15 feet off the fence, a 16th of a mile down the stretch. I said, the whole field crosses the line. Well, we made our decision. So I decided to appeal it. So I appealed it. Very seldom can you overturn the steward's decision with the racing commission. They always uphold it. So nonetheless, I appealed it. I was that strong about it. And I went in, and I lost. And when the hearing was over, I walked out. And the head steward followed me out and said, Bob, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, yes, what's up? He said, listen, you've been leading trainer here the last 4 years. We like you. We like your horses here. But let me tell you something. I've been in the business 40 years, and this kid is not going to make it. We do not want him here. I said, really? He said, yes. So I go to my car, and I'm driving back to the barn. Of course, Edgar's waiting for me, and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? I brought this kid from Florida. I flew him and his wife up. I shipped his car up. I brought his brother up and gave him a job as an exercise rider. I mean, I'm responsible for him, and I can't ride him in Boston because he's getting railroaded. So at the time, I was going to send 10 horses to Lowell Racetrack because the racing secretary at the time, Bobby DeStacio, was going down there to be racing secretary, and he asked me if I would please send a small string, which obviously was advantageous to me, so I did. So I said, you know what, maybe I'll send more horses down there instead of 10. I went into the racing office before I went back to the barn. I called down, and I asked if it was possible to get more stalls, and Bobby DeStacio told me, we'll give you as many as you want. How many do you want? I said, I don't know. Probably, I don't know, 20 to 25. So I went back to the tack room, and Edgar's waiting for me. Of course, his English was not good. So I had another interpreter there, another exercise rider. And I said, I got good and bad news. And he goes, okay, what's the good news? I said, well, the stewards here will never bother you again. And he goes, and he thought I pulled a power play somehow, right? And he goes, what's the bad news? I said, you're going to Maryland. He goes, Maryland? What country is that?
Great stuff from Bob Claseris, a phenomenal story. He actually told that story at Edgar's Hall of Fame induction. He was asked by Edgar Prado to present him to the Hall of Fame. That's how close their relationship is when Edgar was inducted in 2008. And that was a special moment for Bob. He talked about that in that interview as well. But it was a full hour with Bob Claseris. Some great stuff from him, some other phenomenal stories. Head back over and check it out. HorseRacingRadio.net is where you can find the archive replay of that show and all of our Trainer Talk and Jock Talk shows. The Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts is there as well. All of those available for you on our website, HorseRacingRadio.net. Going to get to the second half of the program, which kicks off with Jim Gagliano. He is the president and chief operating officer of the Jockey Club. I'll visit with him in just a couple of moments. Joe Christofek from the Fairgrounds at 9:22 Eastern Time, and Frank Hoff, the senior director of racing operations at Sam Houston, coming up 9:40 Eastern. All of that ahead right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enabled and Frankie Dettori. The ARC winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too. It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Monoboy Girl at 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Pizzo. Monoboy Girl has won the distance. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, flying solo this morning as the Pontiff of the Pick Four is enjoying a little R&R with the family. Happy to have you back with me. If you missed any portion of the show, the first half of the program, or any of our show, simply head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast. It will be available for you to listen to at your leisure shortly after we wrap things up here at 10 o'clock Eastern Time this morning. Threw out a poll question at the top of the show, and I'll update you on the results right now. The poll question is, in honor of March Madness in the NCAA basketball tournament, which of the four current number one seeded horses has the best chance of winning the Kentucky Derby? All right, and what we did is we took the top 4 3-year-olds in the point standings currently. War of Will, Code of Honor, Long Range Toddy, and High Call. Those are your four. And War of Will, the top points getter, we'll see him in action later this afternoon in the Louisiana Derby. No surprise here, 57% of the vote coming in for War of Will. Code of Honor, second at 24%, Long Range Toddy third, and High Call only getting 7% of the vote right now. But you can go weigh in and cast your vote at HRN on Twitter. You can do it on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook as well. Well, a busy second half of the show begins with Jim Gagliano, who is the president and chief operating officer of the Jockey Club. And I laid this out in the first half of the show for you. I'll go ahead and recap this for you now as well before we get into this interview with Jim. If you've been following along over the past couple of weeks, you know that on March 14th, Belinda Stronach and the Stronach Group sent an open letter about the future of thoroughbred racing in California. That letter basically stated that race day medications would be banned at both Santa Anita and Golden Gate, the two California tracks owned by the Stronach Group. This coming on the heels of the horrific tragedies that have been happening there with 22 horse deaths and the investigation and the improvements being made with the racetrack, the racing surface at Santa Anita. Well, 2 days later, on March 16th, Santa Anita, Golden Gate, and the thoroughbred owners of California reached an historic agreement to protect the safety and welfare of all the horses and the riders in the state, which essentially put forth the most stringent medication policy in North America, which we can get into here in just a little bit. Also on March 14th, that very same day, the Coalition for Horse Racing Integrity, CHRI, announced its strong support for the Horse Racing Integrity Act of 2019, which is introduced by U.S. Representatives Paul Tonko of New York and Andy Barr of Kentucky. The bill would pretty much create a private, independent horse racing anti-doping authority known as the Horse Racing Anti-Doping and Medication Control Authority, with a new set of rules, testing procedures, and penalties that would replace the current patchwork of regulatory systems that govern horse racing's 38 jurisdictions. So that catches you up to date on everything that's happened over the past couple of weeks. Jim Gagliano is with me now, President, Chief Operating Officer of the Jockey Club. Jim, after all of those things are laid out, good morning. Where do you want to start, my friend?
Hey, that was a great summary. I think you nailed it. That's a good recap for all your listeners.
Yeah, a lot has been going on. It started, of course, with the tragedies and the 22 horse deaths and the investigation into the racetrack at Santa Anita. They've been working diligently to get the racetrack correct. And then, of course, the announcement by the Stronach Group that they would institute a zero race day medication policy. So from the Jockey Club perspective, what's been happening on your side of things?
Well, let's just first talk about what the Stronach Group did. You mentioned race day medications, but it was a lot more than that. What they've done, in effect, is embraced a standard that is applied internationally on a lot of the rules. They've moved back. They're going to be embracing moving back in anti-inflammatory non-steroidal drugs as well, the administration of those. They've called for a great deal of more out-of-competition testing. They've taken a very bold stand on whipping. And obviously, the rest of the world doesn't race on race day medication, so that's part of the basket of reforms that they've proposed. But I think it's also important to note that they really did address, to the best of their ability, the track surface first, and by bringing Dennis Moore back, by engaging Mick Peterson to the way that they have. So it was kind of a number of different things that they've been looking at following that, those tragedies.
Yeah, and it's unprecedented that a racetrack would take this, I'll call it a drastic step, because it is. It's a drastic step in terms of saying, okay, we're going to race medication-free, and then they got the Thoroughbred Owners of California on board and reached that agreement. So this is something that is moving forward. Does this, Jim, somehow give us a guideline of the way that this might be accomplished in the sport on a state-to-state basis?
Yeah, I think it does. I think when you look at race day medication, and I don't want to dwell on it too much, but that's been a heavily debated topic, but it's also been a big part of racing in America for the past 30 years. So I think the measured step that they're taking with two-year-olds makes a lot of sense. That's 10% of our racing crop. I think there's going to be some very valuable things we learn once they start that next year. And, hopefully that'll help us put in place the right measures that we can begin to phase that in or phase that out in future years.
All right, so where do things stand now with the Horse Racing Integrity Act that I had mentioned that's introduced by Representatives Paul Tonko and Andy Barr?
Oh, thanks. It's the third Congress we've introduced it. Congress sits for 2 years at a time, and it's reset every time there's elections in the House of Representatives. So this is the same bill, essentially, that we had introduced in 2017 and very similar to the one in 2015. Again, Paul Tonko and Andy Barr are the leads because the Democrats control the House. They flip-flopped, and now Paul is the principal sponsor of the bill. Last Congress, we had about 130 co-sponsors out of 435. We expect to get close to that 200 mark probably by midsummer. It requires a lot of work on our part and the other fellow supporters of the coalition. Where we'll go down to Washington, we'll talk to legislators, we'll do so with our colleagues in the coalition, including some of the animal welfare groups that have embraced this legislation. And I also hope that for the first time we'll have a Senate version of this bill sometime before the Kentucky Derby this year.
You know, there are going to be plenty of people, Jim, that have a differing opinion, and this happens in every sport, in every industry, in every business. We see people on both sides of the fence, but there will be people that say, you know what, federal intervention, federal legislation, probably not the best way for us to handle things in our sport, but the Jockey Club has always seen that as the way to go. How come?
Well, we didn't always see it that way. We actually, if you go back in history, in my tenure and in my predecessor's tenure, we tried and all worked very hard to try to do it organically within the industry to see these reforms embraced. We put a lot of time into things like the RMTC and support the Racing Commissioners International. I myself have gone to state houses and lobbied for states and regulators to adopt some of the, you know, the best practices that would be in things like NUMP, the National Uniform Medication Program. But at some point, you have to kind of look around and take account of the progress that's been made. And we just didn't feel like it was going fast enough or deep enough. What we're proposing with this legislation is something that I think is actually, you know, kind of plays out right today on the matter of bisphosphonate. What we're proposing is that someone, you know, one organization control and manage this really intricate part of regulation, medications. You know, each of the racing commission, each of the states that you mentioned, there's as many as 38 different racing commissions in the United States, probably a little bit less. Some of those states may be dormant. But each of them is required by law to appoint people to a commission, and those commissions, are going to have expertise. They're going to, you know, be dealing with very technical things in medication regulations, and they're going to hear from a lot of different stakeholders. And what results is, a lot of different rules, a lot of different manners in regulation. We think, for the safety of the horses, the integrity of the public, it really has to be owned by one group of experts. And that's what this bill does. It puts in place United States Anti-Doping Agency, along with companions from the industry, experts, to set these policies. Now, let's just talk a little bit about bisphosphonates. There's a lot of discussion about that. We've had reports about the concerns about bisphosphonates for years. Just a year ago, Paul Report did an excellent piece with Dr. Larry Bramlage describing some of Dr. Bramlage's concerns. I'd witnessed speeches about this stuff, been to conferences, but nobody owned the problem. And now it's just barely getting addressed. And it's people like Terry Finley and Vinnie Viola that are stepping up and really beating the drum, saying we've got to address this. But before, the regulators, really, no one embraced this. You know, we need a test. We need education about it. We need it to be outlawed. And we need it now to happen. And under the current structure, that's impossible.
Yeah, I think, by the way, visiting with Jim Gagliano, the president and the chief operating officer of the Jockey Club here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, I think most people in the industry, I would say nearly all people in the industry, are in agreement that the pain medications that are given to horses need to go away, need to be outlawed. You run into a debate on the Lasix side of things with people.
Sure.
That will say, no, it's a therapeutic drug. Many of the horsemen feel that way. It is therapeutic. If given in the right amounts, then it is not a performance enhancer. That can be debated as well. But I think that's where things kind of get sticky on that end. But I think everybody in the industry would work toward the common goal of getting rid of all the pain medications and those types of things that are given to racehorses. So I guess my question is, why has it been so difficult to get every state on the same page and have to take this route of going to federal legislation?
Well, it's just every state's different. Every process is different. Some states require an act of the legislature to actually change a rule. Some can adopt them just simply by reference, so it's a lot quicker. We have a lot of different paths, and again, no one group owns the problem. No one group can represent the problem. So that's when we look at it with lawyers and some serious-minded people and said, okay, well, how do you fix it? really, the way our society is structured, there's really only one way to do it, one way to supersede state law, in effect, and that is through federal legislation. We didn't want to develop a new agency of the government. We wanted it to be private. We wanted it to be managed by experts like USADA, who is an incredibly impressive group that has taken the United States human athletic competitions, Olympic competitions, where after the Atlanta Games, we were kind of considered a laughingstock in the world with cheating, and cleaned it up and really, you know, made it, brightened up the reputation significantly. And that's the kind of thing that we need in our sport.
You know, one thing that people will look at here and point toward, and I've heard this from people within the industry from time to time, there was a quote that was in that open letter sent by Belinda Stronach back on March 14th, and it was from Stuart Janney, who is the chairman of the Jockey Club. And he said, "We applaud the Stronach Group for its announcement today to effect sweeping changes at Santa Anita, which would bring them on par with the strict standards seen in major international racing jurisdictions." And people will come and they'll read that and they'll say, "Well, wait a minute here. We have a little bit of a different game here in the United States with year-round racing and running more dirt races and more sprint races and all those types of things than any place else in the world. So why would we need to be on par with the rest of the world? Why not let the rest of the world look at us and say, hey, it's apples and oranges. It's two different games. Let them do it the way they want to do it. Why would we feel like we have to be on par with the rest of the world, Jim?"
Well, the world has become a lot smaller in the last 50 years. You know, our bloodstock moves around. I'm watching PBG right now. International racing is coming up next. You know, there's no doubt that the world looks at things a little bit differently. But when you talk about those jurisdictions, you know, Australia is a country that's runs an awful lot of sprint races. You know, maybe there's nowhere else in the world that runs quite as much dirt as we do, although our dirt races are declining. But I'd say this: if you look at the rate of injury in those countries that do produce those statistics, we're still much higher. And it's the same horse. They often have some of the same weather conditions. We've got to be doing something different. And I would like to suggest that our medication policies are far more permissive, and they match up with a much higher rate of fatal injury than other countries. Those are facts.
Yeah. Do you see a situation, Jim, where maybe there's a compromise involved at some point where I know a lot of the horsemen would say, okay, we think Lasix is okay. We don't see it as a performance enhancer. Is there a compromise somewhere where you say, okay, no more pain medicines, race day medication? The only thing that's allowed is Lasix in certain amounts, maybe a lesser amount than what we administer it now. Is there a compromise somewhere there?
Look, there's always room for compromise. You know, we all putting the horse first leads us to that natural conclusion that we're going to have to work together in some respects. I don't know, you know, if a lower dose is going to matter or not. I've had some people advise me that it probably won't. You know, we're open to it. This is too small an industry to not want to compromise. You know, I know the people on the other side on these matters, Eric Hamelback, Alan Foreman, perhaps Greg Avioli at the TOC, perhaps Ed Martin of Racing Commissioners International. These are people we deal with every day. So it'd be foolish to say that there wouldn't be an opportunity or a willingness to compromise.
Where do you see this 3, 4, 5 years up the road, Jim?
Well, I wish I could be that visionary. I think we're at a point right now in our sport where we might even be concerned about the next week. And you know, we need to be very serious. Bill Thomason and I were talking, he's the CEO at Keeneland, a couple of weeks ago, and we both thought we may actually be at a tipping point. You know, that's the book that was written years ago, and where businesses or societies just find themselves on the specter of huge change. We could very well be at that point today. And 2 or 3 years from now, we may look like a very different sport. I'm hoping that we are still a viable, successful sport in a few years. That's our goal.
Well, there are so many things that we as an industry need to work through on all sides, as you've laid out. And Jim, as always, really appreciate it when we get a chance to catch up on this program. It doesn't happen often enough, but appreciate the visit here this morning. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that to you. And thanks so much for being with me this morning.
You're very kind. Thanks for having me, and best to Michelle, too.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Jim Gagliano, President, Chief Operating Officer of the Jockey Club, kind of laying out their stance on things, and there will be plenty of naysayers, plenty of people that disagree. One thing that we all need to do in this industry is work toward the common goal of making this sport as clean and as productive as it possibly can be. It's the greatest sport in the world, and so often we get bogged down with internal fighting, and we don't get anything accomplished. You heard Jim talk about going the direction before they got into all the federal legislation with the Jockey Club, going the direction of trying to get the states to work together with the RMTC and different organizations. And when you get into all the state laws and all the different issues, it becomes very difficult. Without a governing body, it becomes very difficult. We are a different sport than the NFL, than the NBA, than Major League Baseball. We are a different sport. My thanks to Jim for being with me here this morning. Typically here, we'll give you your blood horse news update, but in the deference to all of our special guests coming up, Joe Christofek next from the Fairgrounds, Frank Hoff from Sam Houston. A quick word for the blood horse here. We'll bypass the story part, but want to remind you that you don't want to miss any of the Road to the Kentucky Derby prep races and the Triple Crown race coverage like only Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet can bring you. Plus, right now, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Triple Crown Special, which is 12 weekly issues for only $12. All you have to do is go to bloodhorse.com/TC, as in Triple Crown, bloodhorse.com/TC to sign up now. And if you have an iPod or tablet, well, you can get each issue as soon as it's released. No waiting. That's bloodhorse.com/TC. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and talk about the Louisiana Derby and a great card at the Fairgrounds with Joe Christofek. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment, along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit Tenda.com today. That's TENDA.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in.
there's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 and 3 quarter length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins a Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
At the top of the stretch, Zarb's Magic has the lead. City by Night, Grindstone on the outside. Commander's Palace is next. They head now to the eighth pole, and Grindstone takes the lead, but Zarb's Magic hangs in on the inside, but it will be Grindstone with the lead, and Zarb's Magic back in second. Grindstone wins the Louisiana Derby by 4 with Jerry Bailey. Zarb's Magic next, Commander's Palace third. Running time 1:42:03.
How about that? Grindstone, a winner of the 1996 Louisiana Derby, the last horse to win the Kentucky Derby after winning the Louisiana Derby. Been a long time in between drinks of water for that statistic. We'll see if War of Will or the winner of this afternoon's race can break that streak on the first Saturday in May. The Kentucky Derby edging ever closer, now only 42 days, 9 hours, 23 minutes, and 1 second away, and we'll be there as your exclusive radio home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. You will hear all three races on radio exclusively with us here on HRRN. Joe Kristofek is with me now from the fairgrounds. It's a busy morning for him. He's handling his NBC duties. He's handling duties at the fairgrounds. And yeah, he's taking a few minutes to break down the fields with us here this morning on HRN. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Yeah, I'm actually standing in the infield right now. I just crossed over the main track and the turf course to shoot a couple things for NBC Sports. And Mother Nature certainly has smiled on us all week and no difference today. It's absolutely beautiful, fast, firm. Temperature is going to be in the low 70s. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better day.
Simply spectacular. And the card is outstanding, too. You have, what, 8 stakes races and 4 graded stakes on the program today?
Yeah, that's it. 8 stakes, 4 graded, and they're all grade 2s, and they're packaged in a $500,000 guaranteed pool. All graded stakes, pick 4, final 4 races a day, races 10 through 13. If you're a horse player, that's an opportunity you don't want to pass up.
You know, we sent out a poll question on our Twitter feed this morning and tied it to the NCAA March Madness with the NCAA basketball tournament, Joe. And we asked listeners to vote on which of the 4 number one seeded horses, War of Will, Code of Honor, Long Range Toddy, or High Cal, the top 4 in the point standings, which of those number one seed had the best chance of winning the Kentucky Derby? And War of Will running away with it right now with 55% of the vote. Tell me a little bit about what you've seen from War of Will in his trips to fairgrounds.
I've seen a horse that originally, when you look at his pedigree, you think he's a turf horse, and that's what Mark Cassie and his team bought him for. He has turned out to be a great dirt horse. Once horses prove to you what they can do, then you can pretty much throw the pedigrees out the window. This horse is a big, long-striding, good-looking, handsome colt. He likes to do his running in the clear. We haven't seen how handy he can be yet or if he can overcome adversity. We'll see if that scenario plays out today. It certainly would most likely have to play out in the Derby with a 20-horse field and a different caliber of horse. But he switches leads perfectly. He's tactical. I don't think there's any question based on how we've seen him run so far and the pedigree that a mile and an eighth should be well within his scope and a mile and a quarter as well. So he's got all of those factors going in his favor. Mark Cassie's trained a lot of good horses over the years, and I've never seen him this confident about a horse in this particular scenario. Three-year-old, marched towards the Kentucky Derby, trying to sweep the three graded stakes here at the fairgrounds and then on to Louisville. I've never seen him as confident as he is with this horse.
Well, he'll get a rematch with Country House, the Bill Mott trainee, who returns to the fairgrounds after that runner-up effort behind War of Will in the Grade 2 Risen Star on February 16th. He's 9-2 on the morning line. Is Country House the most likely winner outside of War of Will, in your opinion, Joe?
I think he is, because you know what? I think he has upside. So he's a little bit – I mean, we saw that race at Gulfstream two starts ago where he got absolutely left at the start and he still won going away and for fun. And then, you know, in the Risen Star, he was a little bit green in the stretch. I don't think he was ever getting to War of Will. And that's why I think War Will is still significantly the horse to beat. But he's got upside, this horse, and he could take another major step forward. And I think when you're looking at horses with the potential to upset the favorite, he would be on top of my list.
If there's going to be a long-shot upset in here, a 16 seed to knock off the 1 seed, to use an NCAA reference, who might it be?
I'd say Lima Knight. And I don't know that Lima Knight's a 16 seed. He's probably more like a 13. But he got in trouble in the Risen Star. He was on the rail. He had a wall of horses in front of him. He was blocked. He's got better tactical speed than he showed that day, and I think we'll see a little bit more of that from him in this one. May have needed that last race. We saw what Steve Asmussen did with Long Range Toddy. He wasn't really, you know, firmly planted on my radar until he ran that big race in the Rebel and won. So I don't know if Lyman is the thinkage toddy, but as far as horses that can improve significantly and make a big run in the Louisiana Derby at a price, he'd be my choice.
Visiting with Fairgrounds handicapper Joe Kristofek here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Joe, the race preceding the Louisiana Derby focuses on the ladies and the three-year-old fillies who are appointing for the Kentucky Oaks. That's the Grade 2 TwinSpires.com Fairgrounds Oaks, and Serengeti Empress, who rolled the victory in the Rachel Alexandra at the Fairgrounds on February 16th, figures to be a big favorite. She's been known to put in some freakish performances, especially at Churchill Downs. Tell me a little bit about her and about that field.
I agree with you. I mean, if you remember the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, you know, she got in trouble into that first turn. They tried to change her running style a little bit. I talked to Tom Amos the other day, and I'm like, Tom, you got enough points to get in the Oaks. Are you going to try to get cute and maybe experiment with her, try to get her rate behind horses that would be beneficial for the Oaks? He's like, no way. He's like, we're going. You know, there's a couple of other horses that look like they have speed on paper, but they don't have her class. If they want to run with us, they can run with us at their own peril. And, you know, the other horses that I think are the major threats are horses she's already beaten easily in Leora, Heiress 2, and Street Band. Leora does put the blinkers on, and Wayne Catalano has said from the beginning of this prep season that this was the race he was pointing for. He kind of ran in the Silver Bullet Day as an afterthought, ran poorly, then ran well in the Rachel Alexandra to be second. Now the equipment change, which I don't know how she's going to react to it, if it might put her up close to the pace and maybe give her a shot to grind down Serengeti Empress, but I would think she would be the main threat, but she's going to have to improve a lot, and Serengeti Empress is going to have to take a step backwards in order, in my opinion, for her to get beat.
Well, Joe, I know you have a lot of things to get to. We have less than 2 minutes before I have to get to my next commercial break, so it gives us just enough time to get some cursory thoughts on the two other greatest stakes races preceding the 2 3-year-olds. You have the New Orleans Handicap, which will be race number 10, followed by the Muniz Memorial Handicap as race number 11. Share your thoughts on those two races real quick.
I think the New Orleans Handicap is super wide open, which I think most horse players and handicappers probably fall into that category. Super Tappet, I think, will run big. He was virtually eliminated at the start of a Razorback, was four wide, made a steady advance, loomed boldly, was hung six wide, and then kind of evened out. Tyler Gaffleone rides him. Silver Dust, if he keeps his head in the game, he'll run a big race. Bandua, who ran huge in the Fairgrounds Handicap on turf, is going to try dirt for the first time, and he's been training like a beast over it. I'm a little bit surprised they're picking this spot over the Muniz, but he's a horse to watch. And then Copper Bullet makes a lot of sense, but I'm a little bit concerned about that outside post for him. In the Muniz, I mean, Bricks and Mortar is squarely the horse to beat. Synchrony's never lost on this turf course. I would say if there's a long shot to look at, it would be Hot Springs. Steve Asmussen has him ready for this race. He's drawn down on the rail. And you know what, Mike? There is absolutely no speed in the Muniz. So Bricks and Mortar might go. But Hot Springs, I think, is going to show some tactical speed and maybe get a ground-saving pocket trip. We took the rails down, the portable rails, so there's 22 feet of fresh grass on the inside now. So I think the inside is the place you want to be, and Hot Springs is going to be there from the word go.
He's as good as it gets. He's Joe Kristofek from the Fairgrounds. He has his finger on the pulse of everything New Orleans, and certainly that race card later this afternoon. Joe, really appreciate the visit. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we'll send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that out to you, and enjoy the day and have fun on that NBC TV coverage later this afternoon.
I've got my finger on the pulse of grilled oysters and po' boys, that's for sure. And I will wear that gift with pride, so I appreciate it. Always good to talk to you, Mike.
You got it, buddy. Thanks, Joe. Joe Kristofek here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Yeah, huge day in New Orleans at the Fairgrounds. That's a trip that I miss making. We may have to add that back to our schedule at some point. If you recall, we went there many, many times years ago, and then the program got shifted. The dates got shifted. It ended up on the same day as the Florida Derby, and we were committed to be at Gulfstream Park, but now they're back to running them on separate weekends. We will be back at Gulfstream next Saturday to bring you exclusive radio coverage of the Florida Derby. Don't miss that program. You can visit our website for more information. It's all there for you, horseracingradio.net. That also means that this show will be live from Gulfstream Park next Saturday. Of course, all that coverage presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence and the FTBOA. Going to get to another break. We'll come back and talk about Texas Champions Day at Sam Houston with Frank Hoff. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners on Bridal Bell, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Eclipse champion Blame was considered by many as the breakout stallion of 2018. His top runners included Grade 1 winner and Eclipse Award finalist Marley's Freedom, plus Grade 1 winner Fault and graded stakes winners Maraud, Beyond Blame, Miss Kentucky, and Blamed. His yearling sold up to $500,000, and his sensational daughter Fault brought $1.2 million at the November sale. Outstanding results, outstanding value. Blame, standing at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Inside the final furlong off the long layoff, he's impressive today. Spin off, he's in front and striding clear, prepping for something down the line, and he's much the best. Impressively by 8 or 9.
Spinoff, the 3-year-old son of Darley Stallion Hard Spun, is back in action this afternoon in the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby following an 11 3/4 length romp in his most recent race at Tampa Bay Downs. And that effort makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Danzig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion. In addition to Spinoff, Hard Spun's other recent 3-year-old winners include TDN Rising Star Hidden Scroll, who is pointing for the Grade 1 Florida Derby on March 30th. Learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Groovy leads it by a length and a half. Sunmaster on the outside is now second by a neck. King Swan at the rail is third. It's a gap of 8 lengths. Back to Moment of Hope. King Swan with Cordero aboard leads it now by 3 lengths. Sunmaster is in second. King Swan at the rail in third. The half mile went in 44 flat. Groovy leads it into the stretch by 4 lengths. Sunmaster is second, then King Swan and Moment of Hope. They're past the 8th pole. And Groovy extends now as he puts it into another gear. He leads it by 8 lengths. The battle is on for second. Groovy wins the True North.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. Groovy. That call of the 1987 True North, part of a championship season for the Texas bred, who is honored this afternoon, or this evening, I should say, at Sam Houston in Texas as they celebrate Texas Champions Day. And Groovy, certainly one of the greatest to come out of the Lone Star State and helping us decipher what we can expect from that on that Texas Champions Day or Texas Champions Night, is Frank Hoff, who is the Senior Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston. Frank, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mike. How are you doing today?
Good, good. Happy Texas Champions evening, day? How do we look at it?
Yeah, you know, it's always been called Texas Champions Day, but it's always ran at night. So I guess it's Texas Champions evening today.
Yeah, it's cool to remember horses like Groovy on a day like today, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great to honor those horses from, you know, that been bred in, from Texas and how they've gone on the national scene. So, you know, anytime we get a chance to honor those horses, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, and a special night tonight, especially for folks in the industry there in Texas. First post, 7:18 Central, 8:18 Eastern. 18? 7:18, 8:18? Where'd that come from?
So the main driver for that is that the nighttime tracks back in, I believe, in November got together and discussed about a way of doing some post-time coordination. And when we started running at the end of January, the way the post times kind of worked out, at 7:18 Central Time was the right spot, so we could all be about 6 to 7 minutes off each other to give, you know, the betting public an opportunity to wager on the races and have the race go official and look towards the next track that's running. So overall, we were pleased with it, and you know, it's a little bit of a different time, but you know, just a way of looking at opportunities to place our races that the bettors have an opportunity to wager on.
Yeah, kudos to you and the folks who were involved in making that decision. What a novel concept, huh?
It's certainly, you know, even with a handful of tracks, it's certainly a lot of conversations going back and forth, even with us working together. So, but overall, I think it's gone well, and I believe the other tracks would feel the same way.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. 8 races on that program this evening. Again, Texas Champions Day kicking off 8:18 Eastern, 7:18 Central Time. 6 stakes races, and they're all for Texas bred. So tell us what people can expect over the course of the evening, Frank.
Well, we do, like you said, we've got the 6 races. It's the first time we've had all 6 of the Texas Champions Day races together. The last few years, we've kind of split it up into 2 days. So Looking forward to having all six of them on the card together. You know, we'll start off early. Race two, we'll start off with the Yellow Rose, and, you know, just a competitive field of six in that race. And, you know, it kind of continues throughout the card. And obviously, when we get to, you know, we get to the, let me see here, I'm sorry. You know, obviously the sixth race, which is the Groovy Stakes, obviously as the prelude was to. You know, we have Mr. Moneybags coming back. You know, not often that we have a Triple Crown nominated horse running at Houston just because we don't have a three-year-old program. So, you know, excited to have Mr. Moneybags come back, came back and won the Jim Orbit's Texas Stallions Day Stakes. And I know they were pointing, they were looking at the Sunland Derby today, but, you know, they came back here to run locally, and you know, we're certainly happy to have him back on back here at San Houston. So
yeah, and you know, maybe maybe a horse too. Frank, didn't mean to interrupt you, but maybe a horse that when you're looking, you mentioned the Triple Crown nominee. When you look at Mr. Moneybags, maybe a horse that they're thinking, okay, we run him here, and then we start looking at maybe a race like the Preakness for this horse, especially with all of his early speed.
Yeah, and I think that would be a spot that, you know, I'm sure they're taking a look at, and you know, we're. It's great to see have that opportunity to have the horse run one more time here in Houston. So hopefully fans get a chance to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and that will be followed by race seven, which is the final of those six stakes. By the way, the six stakes all run in succession, which is really neat. Races two through seven on the eight-race program. And the seventh race is a mile and an eighth, and it is on the turf course. And the Richard King Turf Stakes, purse of $50,000. Tell me a little bit about that race.
Yeah, that you know, the weather looks like it's going to be good again tonight. So that's been great because we have not been able to run the turf races on Texas Champions Day the last couple of years just because of weather. So, you know, it's got a great field of eight. You know, it's going to certainly I think it's going to be as competitive for the bettors as any of the races on the card. So it looks well. You know, we've got you know, Highway Song is going to be your 8-5 morning line favorite, and it just, you know, it should just turn out to be a great race, especially when they're going long on the turf like that.
Yeah, and a good betting race too, because if you're going to try and beat Highway Song, there's a lot of value to be had in other spots in that race too. Are there some special wagers tied to Texas Champions Night?
You know, today, you know, we have our multi-leg wagers, but you know, the Pick six, our Space City pick six, will end in race eight. So tonight there's not all tied to one particular wager, but, you know, obviously the early pick four will include all the first four stake races in the card. So it should be a good night. Hopefully the weather holds up and, you know, we can put on a nice show tonight after all the great simulcast racing throughout the country today.
Yeah, visiting with Frank Hoff, who is the Senior Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Frank, what does a day like this, celebrating the Texas bred runners and the champions that have come before them, what does a day like this mean to the industry in Texas?
I still, there's a lot of pride down here in Texas, obviously, and, you know, having an opportunity for all of them to kind of show what the Texas breeding has still left in it and, you know, able to showcase that at night and, you know, to a nationwide audience. It's, you know, a lot of excitement and a lot of pride that, you know, the owners and the horsemen down here will have for tonight. So we're hoping to put on a good show for everybody and, you know, again, just, you know, do the best we can to showcase Texas racing still.
Yeah, look ahead. What does the rest of the meet have in store for fans as they either watch on simulcast or make their way out to Sam Houston?
So we're down to our last week of racing.
Yep.
We will conclude the thoroughbred meet on March 30th. So we will go with Tuesday and Wednesday afternoon racing, a little after 12 o'clock on both those days. And then next Friday, we'll again go at that 7:18 post time, and we are starting the last day of entries right now for next Saturday closing day, and you know, hopefully we'll pull up a nice full card out there as well to close out the season. And you know, obviously all our wagers will force out on closing day, so the Space City pick six, whatever that carryover would be, The Houston High Five and the Pick Five, if there's carryovers, there'll be a mandatory force out on closing Saturday. So, hopefully we'll build up a little bit of a carryover and bring some more excitement to closing day.
Yeah, I know we've done a lot of promotion, spent a lot of time talking about Sam Houston throughout the meet here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We've done a lot on social media with retweeting a lot of the posts that Sam Houston puts out there. But, Frank, when you talk to people, if people aren't familiar with racing at Sam Houston or with the facility, and you talk to people about Sam Houston Racetrack, what do you want them to know? What do you tell them?
I think the biggest thing that we take a lot of pride in is just how great the surfaces are here. Our main track and our turf course are great. I think horsemen around the country will certainly agree to that. We try to do our best for a good racing product for what we have down here. We try to maximize our opportunities with going with some afternoon racing, some night racing. We have, facilities. We certainly try to keep those up to date and try them nice and clean. Just try to give a good experience for our bettors every day that come out here for simulcasting. We got a wide variety of simulcast product. And, we just try to do the best we can for everybody out there, whatever interest they have from a live standpoint, simulcast standpoint, and for the bettors out there around the country.
Well,
that's
Frank,
our goal, and we continue to try to do the best we can.
Yeah, it's been a delight to be associated with you and with the entire team at Sam Houston here throughout the meet. And we can't thank you enough for your support of what we do here on the network. We love helping you. And let's keep the ball rolling here as we move forward. And enjoy Texas Champions Day later this evening, and we'll look forward to seeing all the action from Sam Houston.
Well, we certainly appreciate Mike, and we certainly appreciate HRRN and all their support of us this year, and we look forward to moving forward in the future.
Thanks, Frank. Frank Hoff, Senior Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. You can embrace your passion, and you can wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. I'll encourage you to go to that site right now. It's EmbraceTheRace.com. One final break, going to come back with a couple of minutes with Michael Hernan from Gainesway, a little parting shot from him as we wrap up the program. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti on a goal. Caraconti.
Caraconti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti recorded three grade one victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Caraconti recorded a grade one win at two before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at three, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. First crop yearlings by Caraconti sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Caraconti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby, experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton that's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Louisville's True by Hilton.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Readers can't get enough of the quality first foals by Grade 1 winning sire Cupid, a son of the influential three-time leading sire Tappet out of the ultra-successful broodmare Pretty and Smart. His high-class pedigree, along with stunning looks, culminated into a $900,000 purchase as a yearling. Cupid went on to become one of the best three-year-olds of his class, with earnings of over $1.7 million. Cupid boasts the complete package, a top pedigree, smashing looks, and a race record to match. Call the Coolmore team today to get your spot with this hot stallion before they're filled.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
How do you like your HRRN? Well, let us know. Help us get to know the HRN Nation and all of our listeners by visiting horseracingradio.net and taking just a minute or two to fill out our quick listener survey. It's right there on our homepage. It'll literally take you maybe a minute to fill that out and to help us get to know the HRN Nation and let us know how do you like to tune in to HRN and what are your favorite shows. We want to hear from you all there at horseracingradio.net. I know one person who tunes in quite frequently is our good friend Michael Hernan from Gainesway, and he is with me now. I told him we would do a little parting shot here this morning. So, Michael, the stage is yours, my friend. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good to be with you. And we're just coming off a big sale at OBS for the first crop of Caraconchi, a triple grade one winner himself, and, of course, a grade one winner at two. He had a filly co-fastest in 9-4 down there. She sold for $365,000 to Larry Best, and another colt made $100,000. So it's a great average. Exciting young stallion, precocious type, speed from his sire line of Bernstein and Stormcat, of course, and then the female family of Miesk, who, of course, is the Dama King Mambo. So looks like they're going to be fast and early. A lot of good trainers have them. Wesley Ward has a couple, and I know he's planning on running at least one of them at Keeneland. So we're looking forward to that. And he's got good stock coming up in the Doncaster two-year-old sale as well as Arcana. And they're in good hands, and some of the leading trainers in England and Ireland have them, like Mark Johnson, Roger Varian, Jessica Harrington, and some top two-year-old consigners such as Willie Brown. So he's an exciting young horse, got off to a big start, and we're delighted so far, and I think you'll be hearing a lot more as the year unwinds about Caraconchi.
Well, Michael, you were kind enough to invite me out to the farm next week to feast my eyes on Caraconchi. Can't wait to see him, and we'll enjoy some lunch and look forward to catching up with you next week, my friend.
Appreciate it. Look forward to it, and readers are welcome to stop over and see Caraconchi and the other Gainesway stallions daily at 1 o'clock, basically 1 to 1:45, and don't need an appointment. Just drop by.
Yeah, a little horse by the name of Tappet out there. I heard he's pretty good, too. Michael, appreciate the time, my friend. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Michael Hernan here on HRN. Gainesway.com is where you can learn more about the Gainesway Stallions. And, yeah, looking forward to stopping out there and seeing Caraconchi and probably get a look at Tappet and some of the other top stallions out there at Gainesway next week. Should be a lot of fun. Don't forget, next Saturday, we are heading southward. Jude and I will be back together again. This program hosted live from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. You'll be able to tune in from 8 to 10 Eastern for a special Florida Derby edition of the Equine Forum. And then that ExpressBet.com Florida Derby coming up Saturday afternoon. Our coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern time. You can tune in to the Florida Derby coverage on Sirius Channel 93 or stream us live right here at horseracingradio.net. All that coverage, 5 Eastern, and it's presented by Red Brand Fence and the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And a quick shout-out to them. I was invited to go down last week and to MC their year-end awards banquet at the FTBOA. And, boy, what an enjoyable evening. First-class event, first-class people, and congratulations to all of the awards winners with the Florida Breds this past season. I want to thank all of our guests for being with us here this morning, with me this morning. Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables helped kick it off, talking about his consignment and the upcoming Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale. Eddie Woods followed him. He's had a lot of success there at Gulfstream as well with his consignments. Jim Gagliano from the Jockey Club, the president, the COO. He was with me 9 Eastern talking medication and legislation. Joe Christofek from Fairgrounds and Frank Hoff from Sam Houston, and of course Michael Hernan just moments ago. My thanks to all of them. If you missed any portion of the show, just head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast at your leisure and join us throughout the week for all of our talk shows. Follow us on social media at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Chauncey handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Pennell. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening.